Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. That powerful truth from Jesus captures the heart of FaithFi's mission and vision. Hi, I'm Rob West. If money issues are ultimately heart issues, then we need more than financial tips. We need a heart change that helps us see God as our ultimate treasure. Today, Taylor Standrich joins us to explore the deeper purpose behind FaithFi and how you can partner in that mission. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Well, we're delighted to welcome Taylor Standrich to the program today as the production manager here at FaithFi. Taylor manages our nationally syndicated radio show and podcast. He's also an incredibly talented writer, regularly contributing to our quarterly magazine, Faithful Steward, as well as articles at faithfi.com and our studies and devotionals. Taylor, great to have you with us.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
Taylor, you, of course, co-authored our 21-day devotional on financial fear and anxiety, Look at the Sparrows. And that's where I want to start today. You know, we've had incredible shifts in the market, a lot of volatility. There's just this broader economic uncertainty that overrides everything right now. And I'd love for you just to weigh in on why you think our hearts are so closely tied to our finances.
Yeah, you know, I was joking with my wife the other day that the stock market graph lines actually look like a heart rate monitor in a lot of ways. And so, you know, they're plunging and panic, and then they rise when things are hopeful and optimistic. And I actually thought that was a really amazing illustration because people's emotions, people's hope is very much tied to their financial assets. I was actually reading an article about how the rise in suicides is actually very much tied to the rise in debt. And it just breaks my heart because so many people have placed their hope and their identity and their sense of purpose in their financial situation. And so if money is what we treasure, that's what we're going to follow and immerse ourselves in. And so if our peace rises and falls with money, it reveals this misplaced trust in our lives. You know, Psalm 20, verse 7 reminds us that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a really different context, but, you know, we might say today some trust in the stock market or some trust in savings accounts. And so if our hearts mirror the market volatility, it should serve as a warning light in our spiritual life because Scripture calls us to set our minds on things above and to walk by faith, not by sight, and certainly not by the stock chart. So I think that's fundamentally what we at Faith and Finance are trying to remind our listeners about each and every day on the broadcast.
Yeah, boy, that's so well said, Taylor. This program, of course, is just one part of what FaithFi offers. So I'd love to unpack that a bit. Would you talk just about the deeper mission behind the ministry and what drives us here as a team at FaithFi?
Yeah, well, our mission at FaithFi is to help people integrate their faith and financial decisions for the glory of God, but it's our vision statement that inspires how that plays out. So if someone has listened to the show for any period of time, they've heard you say that we want to see every Christian see God as our ultimate treasure. But what does that exactly mean? Well, we said at the beginning, Matthew 6:21 is the lifeblood verse of this ministry because Jesus is making a significant point that we will never understand how God wants us to manage his money until we realize that he wants our hearts, not our money. And you know, some people believe that Christian finance is merely about avoiding debt or giving to better causes. And I don't want to speak down to those things. Those are great things to focus on.
Yeah.
But Jesus is actually inviting us into something deeper. He's asking us to re-examine what our treasure is in the first place. So if we give a lot of money away, our hearts will still be with that money because we have not learned to see God as our ultimate treasure. That's why when we see in the New Testament, the Pharisees were giving a lot of money, but they were still being rebuked by Jesus. And it's because their hearts were hardened and their hearts were distant because they were more concerned with religious appearances rather than generosity. So when Christ becomes our highest joy, giving becomes cheerful and not dutiful, and our hearts become fully his.
Boy, that is so powerful. Taylor, I was reading a quote from Billy Graham just the other day. He said, "Tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God, for those two are closely related." And then he goes on to say, "A man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else. And I think that really just illustrates what drives us here is we recognize, listen, money is a good gift from God, but there are real dangers that come with wealth. And so we need to be on our guard and we need to think about, are our hearts devoted to the things of this world, or are they devoted to God and the things that are eternal? Talking with Taylor Standridge today on Faith and Finance, much more just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As Christians, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. Join us for Activate Summit 2025 at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th, 2025. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture, and it's designed to help you acknowledge the Bible's authority and submit to the clear teaching of Scripture. Hear from Frank Turek.
Evolution describes what does behave, not what ought to behave, right? It doesn't give you oughts, it just gives you what does happen.
Todd Herman.
God always uses evil for good. He is very intentional, and he intentionally chose you to live through times such as these.
And more. The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 through 12. Register for Activate Summit 2025 by visiting activate.afa.net/summit. Get your tickets as soon as possible. Registration closes May 11th.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Boy, I'm delighted to welcome Taylor Standridge to the program today. Taylor serves as production manager here at FaithFi. He manages our nationally syndicated radio program. He's also a regular contributor as a gifted and talented writer. And we're talking today about the heart behind the ministry. Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "One of the dangers of having a lot of money is that you may be quite satisfied with the kinds of happiness money can give, and so fail to realize your need for God. If everything seems to come simply by signing checks, you may forget that you are at every moment totally dependent on God." And I think that really captures the vision here at FaithFi, which is to see all Christians make God their ultimate treasure. And Taylor, you articulated that, I think, so well in the last segment. But let's dig into that just a bit further. You know, you obviously are a part of every radio broadcast. So like me, you get to hear every caller. And I'd love for you just to kind of dive into some of the biggest struggles and tensions that you believe Christians face when it comes to money.
Yeah, well, I think that big tension is trusting God or trusting in financial security. You know, it's easy to say that we trust God and to certainly write that out on paper. But when our peace fluctuates with our financial situation and it rises and falls with our bank accounts or our investments, that's a key indicator that there's something going on. You know, another tension that we live in, and I really respect this tension, is living generously and living comfortably. Yeah. You know, our culture is constantly pulling us towards wanting to accumulate more, getting the bigger house, getting the nicer car. But scripture is calling us to steward what we have for God's kingdom. And so there is this struggle too with identity. And I think those are so closely tied together because money can subtly become a measure of our worth or our success rather than our identity being firmly rooted in Christ. And so that challenge is learning to see money not as an end in and of itself, but as a tool for worship and service and advancing God's kingdom.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, we often say that money is a good gift from God. The problem is when we worship the creation over the creator, we need to put money in its proper place, and that is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And the only way we can use that tool well as stewards seeking to be found faithful is to seek wisdom. Now, as you well know, Taylor, we've been spending a lot of time in the book of Ecclesiastes lately, our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, which is a deep dive into this incredible wisdom book, just came out. I'd love for you to talk about what we unpack around wisdom related to faith and finances from this book in God's Word.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that Ecclesiastes is my favorite book in all of the Bible. It's because it powerfully reminds us every single day that wealth, possessions, even success is all fleeting. It even redefines those things for us because often the things that make us wealthy are the things that are free in this life. And so they never satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. And so the author of Ecclesiastes is detailing this character named the preacher, and they have everything that the world could offer, yet they repeatedly call it vanity or chasing after the wind. That word is hevel. Yeah. And so the context of money, Ecclesiastes forces us to ask us, are we investing in what truly lasts? Or am I just grasping this vapor that I can't actually hold on to? And so it reminds us that apart from God, even the good things lose their meaning. But when we see our work, our wealth, and our resources as gifts from God to be enjoyed and to be stewarded, they actually find their proper place in our lives.
Well, this new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money, was written by our friend John Cortinez, and all of our team here at FaithFi contributed, and it's a part of our partner program. We'll tell you more about that in a moment, but if you'd like to learn more right now about becoming a partner, just go to faithfi.com and click Give right there at the top of the page. Taylor, let's get into some of the practical ways FaithFi is helping God's people apply everything you and I just talked about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, well, we go really practical here. So FaithFi is equipping people to apply biblical financial principles through so many different resources. And a lot of these have been developed just over the last several years. You know, our FaithFi app is kind of that first step. You know, they're helping these users create a budget that reflects godly priorities. So things like generosity, saving for the future, having margin, and spending with wisdom. And it also includes this really supportive in-app community that just is such a resource. You know, I can ask questions and get a biblical answer from even CKAs and CERT CFCs that we have, certified Christian financial counselors. We can ask questions and get wise biblical advice in that community. You know, we also have this daily radio program and podcast. We have articles. We also have Bible studies and devotionals that we just released last year that are helping individuals and churches connect their financial decisions to their faith. So we're not just theorizing here, but we're actually applying this to everyday life, whether that's paying off debt, making a major purchase, or planning for retirement. And something that we're really excited about is for our partners is an exclusive quarterly magazine called Faithful Steward. It's a 50-page magazine that goes directly to their mailbox every quarter. And it's just full of theologically rich articles, beautiful illustrations that offer practical wisdom and biblical insight to support them on their generosity journey.
Well, we're going to tell you how you can become a partner here in just a moment and all the incredible things we're able to share with you to encourage you when you do. But let's take just a moment and hear a story of someone impacted by this ministry. There's no better way to understand how God is at work through His Word in this area of money management than to listen to the story of life change. Here's Courtney's story. Take a listen.
Thank you so much for this program and everything that you do, I've just learned a tremendous amount of wisdom with finance and how to kind of tackle investments. So you always would say to save up 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund before you make any kind of crazy investment. And so I started doing that, and almost to the exact day that I saved up 6 months of an emergency fund, I lost my job and God called me into Global Missions. So because I had the 6 months emergency fund there, I didn't have to be frantic and look for a different job. And I was able to really focus on my ministry and go to training that I needed to do. And I expedited that entire process. And I literally leave for the mission field in January. So without this program and your advice, who knows where I would be right now, but I just wanted to call in and just say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Wow. Well, that's what it's all about, folks, helping God's people see money as a tool to accomplish his purposes. And that's certainly Courtney's testimony. Well, Taylor, we're about out of time, but I want you to share with our listeners how they can help support this work and benefit from those resources you just mentioned.
Yeah, well, the best way to support Faith and Finance is to become a FaithFi partner. This is someone who gives at $35 a month or more, or $400 annually, and that really helps sustain our work, whether it's through our radio program, our app, these resources and Bible studies that we're creating on a, you know, a bi-yearly basis. And so as a thank you, we're even going to give you our quarterly Faithful Steward magazine, early access to all of these studies and devotionals, and full access to the pro version of the FaithFi app. You can also certainly make a big impact by sharing FaithFi with your friends as well as your family and church community. This really helps more people discover biblical wisdom for their financial journey. So faithfi.com/give, you can become a FaithFi partner today.
And folks, when you support this ministry, you're not just funding a program, you're joining a movement that's helping millions see God as their ultimate treasure and using money as a tool for worship and generosity and kingdom impact. So if this vision resonates with you, we'd be honored to have you stand with us as a FaithFi partner. Just head to faithfi.com and click give at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com and click give. A gift of $35 a month or more will make you a FaithFi partner. Taylor, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely, Rob.
As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President, Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Let's dive right in. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling from Chicago. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just recently retired, so I have a pension check, and I just received a check of, like, I guess the last amount that I should get, well, $20,000. And I really don't know what to do with the $20,000 right now. I have a Roth. I have a little savings. I have annuity that I'll probably be able to get next year at 59. I think I have two or three annuities. So I, you know, the 501, what is the K?
401K.
Those 401K, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
And I haven't really talked, you know, to a financial planner to even know what my status is on that right now, being hearing things about the market. But I don't know what to do with my $20,000.
All right. Well, it's a good problem to have. Better to have $20,000 you don't know what to do with than a bunch of bills you don't know how to pay for. So I think you're in a good spot there. I would agree. I think a financial advisor is really a key next step for you because you're recently retired. You've got, it sounds like, a number of retirement assets. And, you know, you've spent your lifetime amassing this wealth. The last thing we want to do is just put it on autopilot. So I think connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Chicago could be a really great next step. You can do that at our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Click find a professional. And I'd interview two or three to find the one that's the best fit. But let's get back to your original question. So what do we do with this $20,000? Is it taxable? I'm assuming it is.
Yes, they took money out of it already.
Okay, got it. So what you have left over is around 20?
21, exactly.
21. Okay, great. And do you have what I call an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months expenses and savings?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I don't.
So I think you do now. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think I have a Roth and I have a little in that. A Roth, and I think I can get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the key is, though, with retirement accounts like a Roth or a 401k, you really want to keep them invested. I mean, you should have a nice mix of stocks and bonds, and, you know, you want to let that continue to grow for you. If at some point you needed to draw an income from any of those to supplement whatever other income sources you have, I think that's great. But in terms of you having a liquid account in a high yield savings, that's ready and available for the unexpected, I would say you'd want at least 6 months worth of expenses. So if you're spending, you know, $4,000 a month, I'm just throwing out a number, I have no idea, you know, you'd want $24,000. Well, that's just about, you know, what you have with this $21,000. So I would say if you don't have that emergency fund, I would say this is the beginning of that. So what I would do is either connect with our friends at Christian Community Credit Union. You could go to joinchristiancommunity.com. We talked to Aaron Cade earlier about this. Or if you want to just look for that online bank that has the very best interest rate across all the banks, secular and Christian, you could go to bankrate.com. But I think the key there would be it's not in your checking account, so it's removed from your kind of typical monthly operating account, so it's not as easy to get to spend, but it's still liquid and secure, but it's also earning some interest. You know, so if you had $21,000, and let's say you get 4%, which is pretty typical right now, I mean, you'd have nearly $1,000 a year from now on top of the $21,000. But the key is it's there and it's available if the unexpected comes. So you're not having to sell stocks in a Roth or a 401k, and you're certainly not having to take on any debt to cover unexpected expenses. Does that make sense?
That makes really good sense, because I just thought of something. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, listen, all the best to you. And hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a book. It's called An Uncommon Retirement. It's written by my friend Jeff Hanen, and it unpacks kind of how we should think as Christ followers about this next season of life as we head in to retirement. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll send that out as our gift to you. We appreciate you calling today. Let's go south to Florida, and we go from Ann to Anna. Anna, how can I help?
Hi, yes. I currently have a Roth IRA for National Life Group. It was opened in 2013. It's past the surrender fee date, but it's not earning me hardly anything. I don't know what to do. I'll be 66 in July, and I'm single. I have no one to depend on, so don't know what to do.
Yeah. Do you have other investable assets, Anna, besides this Roth IRA annuity?
I have an F&G annuity that's also not, I'm not happy with. I just don't know what.
Yeah. And how much is in that?
Roughly $41,000.
Okay.
And then I also have, I think that one is $54,000. But I think one of them has an income rider.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm losing money every year. And
yeah.
I was. Taking care of my parents, they're gone, and now I'm trying to deal with this.
Yeah, well, and the nice thing is if you put all those together, you've got a nice little nest egg there. I think the key is how do you manage it moving forward so that it's actually growing and it can continue to grow so that when you need it for your expenses, whether that's long-term care or something else, it's there and you can begin to draw on it. I'll tell you, we could talk about how you would invest it yourself, and you certainly can do that. I think connecting with an advisor there in Florida, somebody who could look at all of these accounts and talk to you about how they could be repositioned, perhaps taken out of those insurance companies, especially now that you're beyond the surrender charge period, and rolling those out, if that's qualified money, maybe to an IRA, consolidating them, and then investing them at 66, you might want to think about having a 60-40 portfolio where 60% is in bonds, 40% in stocks. You could even be a little more aggressive than that if you wanted to. But the idea would be you'd take a long-term perspective. Even once you hit retirement, you still need to have this money last for decades, potentially. And so we still have the ability to have a long time horizon, get it invested so it's growing for you, but it's still liquid. So if you ever need it, you can pull it out. I'd connect with an advisor there in Florida. Just go to faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go back to Chicago. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Yeah.
Okay. I just have a quick question. It's in regard, my daughter wanted me to call in, and she's got two loans that equal roughly about $15,000. And I apologize. I don't, the loan servicer, I think is called Mohila.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, right. That's one of the federal loan servicers.
Okay. And that's who, you know, so she's got two separate loans. And my question, or I should say her question is I think in September, the interest that's been deferred, I think is going to start back in. And, they're wondering, and I know they've heard quite a few times, like if you have a loan, this may not apply to federal loans, but if let's just say they have $13,000, ready to go, are you able to call up and negotiate and say, hey, look, I've got this. If I pay it off right now, do you know on a federal loan, will they be willing to work with you? Or, the other option is, I don't know what the interest rate would be. Would you recommend just paying it off if you got the money, or, half, or what's your
Good question. To the first part of your question, no. Federal loans are not able to be negotiated, and only when, and there's strict rules around this, when they enter default, which is about 9 months of missed payments, at that loan they're assigned to the Department of Education's Default Resolution Group. Or a private collection agency, but even then, settlements typically require paying a significant portion of the balance, often 90% or more. So that's just, a pretty risky approach. I wouldn't take that at all. With this being a federal loan, option with that federal loan servicer, they're not going to negotiate. So I would be focused on getting this paid off. Now, the only reason why you wouldn't pay it off immediately would be if you don't have the money to, or you or she may qualify for one of the loan forgiveness options, which would basically be the most common is the public service loan forgiveness, where she works for a qualifying employer, government, or a nonprofit, and she has to make those 10 years of, qualifying payments, 120 payments, or she qualifies for one of the income-driven repayment options. But do you know if she qualifies for public service loan forgiveness?
Re-listen to it and write down, and I'll have to have her look into it. Okay. I know she works for a a hospital right now, but I don't know, you know what I mean, to what extent. But you would look into that?
I would, yeah. I mean, that could be an option. And so I would say if she qualifies for public service loan forgiveness, I would say then just start making the payments until she reaches the 120 qualifying payment mark, so 10 years, and then the rest would be forgiven. And that's just a program that's been in place for a long time. There is some specific requirements around it, so not all, you know, options would exist there, just depending on who she works for and in what, you know, what locale. But I would explore that. Apart from that, I would say tell her that the settlement option she should just take off the table. And if she's not going to qualify for loan forgiveness, then I would say let's just balance this against other priorities, namely, you know, other consumer debt with a higher interest rate, or, you know, starting to save for retirement, not to mention, you know, her emergency fund. But assuming she's making progress on all of those, then I think her getting this paid off just as soon as she can is a key idea.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, like I said, I'll get her the info and we may call you back then. Okay, thank you so much for your time, Rob. Thank you.
Absolutely. God bless you, Bob. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Ada is in Tennessee. Hi, Ada. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about charitable giving from a required minimum distribution.
Okay.
I am executor for my father's estate, and I'm not 73 yet, but he obviously was older. And last December, I was surprised by the estate planner calling me and saying, we have to take an RMD. Please come in and sign the paperwork. But this year, I want it to go to a charitable organization. How do we set that up?
Okay, so what is your age?
I'm 67.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so if you are, in order to do a qualified charitable distribution, you have to be 70 and a half. So as a non-spouse inherited IRA, if he was already taking the RMDs before he passed, and it sounds like he was, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then you would typically, and I would check with your CPA on this, but typically you would have to, at a minimum, continue to take required minimums, and then you'd have to fully deplete the IRA, you know, within 10 years. And until you're 70 and a half, you can't do a qualified charitable distribution.
All right. When I reach 70 and a half, then we can begin to use his IRA until it's depleted.
Yes, exactly right. So you would be able to send directly to a charity out of the inherited IRA once you are 70 and a half or older, provided that inherited account is a traditional IRA. But if it is, then you could go right out of the IRA to a qualified charity that would ensure that you're meeting those required minimums and depleting the account, and it doesn't get added to your taxable income for the year.
All right. So at the time that I'm 70 and a half, I will also be eligible to use my RMDs from my own IRA, correct?
Yes, exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So you
so
would
I
be
can
able
designate
to
whichever churches or charities that I give them to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So long as you're 70 and a half, you're able to put to do up to $105,000 for 2025, and that number will likely continue to grow each year. Last year it was $100,000. This year it's $105,000, but that's the amount you're able to take out of you know, per individual across all of your IRAs.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
you're very welcome.
I just need to wait 3 years and then I'll be eligible to do that.
That's exactly right. Just make sure you're taking out at least enough to satisfy that required minimum from that inherited IRA, since he had started taking RMDs before he passed away. And your CPA can make sure that you're taking enough out each year. That will be taxable, but it is a requirement from the IRS. We appreciate your call, Ada. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, folks, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll have one more segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. We have some good ones coming up. You know, if you've found benefit in this program, maybe you listen regularly, it's been a blessing to you. Maybe you've been able to apply something you've heard. Well, we'd like to invite you to become a FaithFi partner as a listener-supported ministry. FaithFi partners are a key part of helping us fund this work and reach more people with this message of biblical stewardship. FaithFi partners give $35 a month or more, and as a way of saying thanks, we send some resources to encourage you in your stewardship journey. 4 issues of our magazine, Faithful Steward, and studies and devotionals, 2 per year, faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Back to Chicago, talking to a lot of folks from Chicagoland today. Hi, May. How can I help you?
Yes. I'm calling regarding a Roth IRA. I purchased the Roth because I do not have to make withdrawals.
Right.
Require minimum withdrawals. Now, my question is, do my children, when they inherit the Roth, do they have to make withdrawals?
Yeah, it all comes down to who, or to the relationship of the inheritor of that Roth IRA. So if it's a spouse, they can just roll it to their own Roth IRA and treat it as if it was their own from the beginning. If it's a non-spouse beneficiary and they're not, eligible for any exceptions because, you know, they have maybe a disability or something like that, but a typical non-spouse beneficiary, they would be subject to the 10-year rule. So this came into place through the Secure Act 2.0 in 2022. And so typically adult children would then have to empty the entire Roth IRA by December 31st of the 10th year after your death. Now, there's no required minimums because unlike traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs are not required to take annual RMDs. So they would just need to make sure they take the money out completely by the 10th year following your death. And when they take it out, there's no tax on it, so long as that account had been, open for at least 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. So your children cannot inherit this just like a cash inheritance.
Well, they can in the sense that they can get the money out tax-free, but they can't just leave it there and let it go forever. They would be subject to that 10-year rule.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Very helpful.
Well, I'm so glad, May. Thank you for calling today. To Kansas City. Hi, Ralph. How can we help?
Hi, Ralph. My question goes back to the
$8,000 maximum that you can put in a Roth IRA if you're over 50. And
yes.
I was wondering if that $150,000 is combined income with your wife or if it's just your income.
Yeah, it goes down to your filing status. And so if you're filing married, filing jointly, which I assume you are, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it would be your modified adjusted gross income from both of you, because if you're married filing jointly, both of your incomes are being combined and it's no longer 150. Then if you're married filing jointly, you can put in the full contribution as long as your modified adjusted gross income is under 230,000 as married filing jointly. You can do partial contributions between 230 and 240,000. And then you eliminate the option over 240,000 a year.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. I appreciate it.
All right. Happy to help. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Craig. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. Calling about life insurance. I have about 130K between two IRAs. I owe about $125,000 on my mortgage, and which I have a very good interest rate on. Likewise, I have about $15,000 on an auto loan. Very good rate on that. I have a $250,000 term life policy that ends, I believe, in 2027. So I'm shopping. I guess the question is, how much should are you in favor of life insurance? You know, how much should I buy? That kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, it really comes down to what are we trying to insure against? And with life insurance, the purpose of it is to offset the risk that if you were to pass away before your wife, assuming she's the only one depending upon your income, then that would create a hardship, because if your income goes away, then she may not be able to maintain her lifestyle, you know, with just those two IRAs and whatever else you have in the savings account. So the life insurance is there to provide a lump sum payment that could be invested that she could use to offset that loss of income. So that's really the primary thing. And so the idea would be, especially with term life insurance, which I like, pure insurance, the most cost effective, the idea would be that we're saving outside of that in IRAs and 401ks and other assets, such that when you transition away from paid work to whatever God has for you in that fourth quarter, that you no longer have a need for that life insurance. You drop it because there's no longer that risk. If you were to pass away, she still has all the marital assets that you all have accumulated, and she's not depending on your income. She's no longer depending upon your income. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's absolutely 100% okay. On board with all of that.
Yeah. So then the question would be, how long is that? Is that now? Is that 5 years from now? Is it longer?
Well, I'm on track to have my mortgage paid off in 10 years.
Okay.
I'm 61. I would like to retire at 67, but I don't know if I'll financially be in that spot by then. I am.
Yeah.
Saving aggressively as much as I can. I think I'm like 13% or something like that in my IRAs.
Yeah.
So then I think the
opportunity for you right now, Craig, is even while you've got this existing policy that's going to run through 2027, perhaps while you're still relatively young and hopefully in good health, this might be the time to see if you can qualify for a new 10-year term policy that gives you enough coverage so that if you were to predecease her, she has a payout that would essentially allow her to, you know, pay off the house and also have whatever else she needs beyond Social Security and whatever other income sources she'll have to maintain her lifestyle. And that would probably be better to do today, because something could happen where you become uninsurable 5 years from now. And if you were able to get that policy that fits your budget and gives you enough death benefit for a 10-year period, with the expectation that when those 10 years are up, you no longer need life insurance, once that's in force, then you could drop the existing policy.
Right. Okay, that's great. Then, do you have an idea on an amount that I should try and purchase?
Yeah, so I think it really depends upon what we're trying to solve for. I mean, if it's income, typically we would say 10 to 12 times the income you're trying to replace. So, you know, if you're trying to replace, well, tell me, what would that number be you'd be wanting to replace that she would lose?
That's I think last year I made close to 80.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we're probably talking somewhere between, you know, $750,000 and $1 million in term life insurance.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And the idea there, well, and the idea is if we were to then take that $750,000, you know, and invest that, and she pulled 4% a year, you know, she could pull $30,000 a year and never deplete the $750,000. If she wanted to pull more than that, she's probably going to be slowly depleting it. Like, let's say, you know, if you want to get up to 80,000, you know, she'd probably, you know, need $1 million and she'd have to, you know, pull 8% a year. Well, you know, that money's not going to last forever. So, you know, I think when we're looking at how to replace income, now, one thing you could do would be factor in what retirement assets already exist. And so if your ultimate goal is, you know, to have, you know, I don't know, whatever that number is, $1 million in the bank plus Social Security, and you already have $250,000. Well, you know, now you're not solving for that full million. So I think it really comes down to what assets do you have now, and every year you're building more, and then what are you trying to replace? And, you know, we can back into what that number is that could generate that kind of income per year without depleting that account too quickly. Ideally, it would last, you know, well into her 90s.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.
All right. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate your call today. Let's see. We're going to go to Illinois. Diane, go right ahead.
Hi. Okay. I used to be poor. It was like 25 years ago. I was extremely poor. Okay. I filed bankruptcy for $3,500. Now I get my dead husband, ex-husband's Social Security, and I would like to see about possibly paying that back. Okay, on my Visa card, because of a family member, I owe $4,000. And I don't know if I can go back to a credit union because I heard you say on the phone that's better than a bank.
Hmm. Yeah. And who are you trying to pay back? Is it the creditors that were discharged under the bankruptcy or somebody else?
Well, I filed bankruptcy with the credit union. I mean, that's what it went through, I believe. It's been a while. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. And so I appreciate that you are now in a much stronger position. I'm just trying to understand exactly who is it that you're trying to make whole. What were the debts that were not paid that you're trying to pay?
Okay. The ones from like 25 years ago, I'd have to go back and look at my papers exactly. I believe it was just a credit card with the credit union, but I'd have to go back and double check that.
Yeah, the challenge is, I so appreciate your desire to steward this money well and to honor your obligations. What's going to happen is they're going to tell you, listen, number one, it was charged off. You know, number two, mm-hmm. you know, we probably can't even accept that payment against that account because it's so long gone. In fact, they probably collected a little bit of insurance on it anyway because they insure these accounts. So mm-hmm. you could reach out to them and say, listen, I just feel convicted that I want to honor this obligation from a bankruptcy 20 years ago. I suspect they're not going to be able to take it, but you could at least try, Diane. And maybe what you find is you just end up giving that money to the Lord because you're not able to pay it otherwise. I'm out of time today. Thanks for calling. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.